sick debate for you tonight. well, it'll be entertaining if nothing else. And we see six, I guess, speakers debating the motion, this House believes the Oscars are rigged, in what I think will be not very enlightening, but probably quite entertaining, James and Tasha especially. But before we get started, we do have a lot of council announcements to get through. So we'll go to... Yes, we'll go to... If you have got a council announcement, put your hand up, basically. And introduce yourself, because it's all the time. Yes.
I'm Talisha McSparn and I'm the external convener. And next Friday, the 27th, we're all going on a trip to Dublin on a bus. It's a 5-hour made at 1:45 Lanyon. You get to go to the Irish Times debate, which is in the Royal Irish Academy, and see somebody, I don't know her, speak at the Irish Times Television Final. And it's only a fiver, and it's a whole day trip to Dublin. There's free wine, and it's in a really fancy building, so please do come.
Yeah. Thank you. If you have any further council mentions, put your hand up now. Yes, and say your name as well, please.
So, hi guys, I'm Ellie. For anyone who doesn't know me, and any new faces, I see a couple, so thank you so much for coming. Term card, I bother you about the term card every single week and force you to sign up. And I would like to say thank you all so much for the support for the term card. The second term card is always a scarier one, really, because you kind of, like, when you go for the position, you already have basically the first term card in your head, and then you do that, and then you're like, fuck, now I need to think more. So, yeah, thank you all for signing up. Loads of sign-ups. But they are mostly during the later terms of the debate. Or, fuck me, my brain's not working, by the way.
Dermot, can you pass me the gavel, please?
Yeah, you don't need it. Oh my god.
Sign-ups are
mostly for the second half of the term because they put a lot more of the spicy stuff right there because council will be burnt out because we have a lot of fun events, which I'm sure other council members will announce in. And today or the coming weeks. However, yes, next week's debate is this House would decriminalise drugs. I finally got the debate I wanted. I'm speaking next week. I'll have to wait a bit. There's two spaces to debate against me, so please. So yeah, there's two spaces still left on opposition for next week's debate. So if you do not think drugs should be decriminalised, or you just want to argue against it, to argue against it, because we all love arguing, that's why we're here. Please then let me know and sign up, please.
Are there spaces on the draw?
What?
Are there spaces on the draw?
If I made it 4v4, if three people sign up for all, well, then please, yes, otherwise no.
This is going to be a course.
The draw is full with people who will not back out because they
the
know me. I know where they live.
I feel really threatened, aren't
you? Yeah, you can't quit, neither can you. Noah and Jack are on prop with me next week.
I'll try and make it a 4v4.
They know they can't back out. So, two spaces of opposition, so please sign up for it. I'll be in the pub after. My Instagram was linked like 13 different times on the main pages because I need Instagram followers for money. So yeah, thanks guys.
Cheers, thank you. Please.
Brian Hoey, and I'm the social officer. It's my job to get you to come to the pub after the debate. And also, on Monday the 30th of January, we're going to have our first socials because it's directly after the Refreshers Fair. So it's going to be a charity social in the wee bar of the Union Bar. And for that, we're going to do drunk debates. Why are you not wearing any shoes?
I see Sherlock Holmes has arrived.
Right, anyway, for those unable to see, he's come in dressed as Bilbo Baggins.
Quiet! Right, yes. Continue. Quiet, please. Shush. Quiet. I'm sure we've got plenty of time to debate his lack of shoe choice in a minute. Right, next. Yes.
Right.
Cheers.
You interrupted my announcement. So the announcement is that we're doing drunk debates at the social, not next Monday, but the Monday afterwards. And we're going to basically do mini debates after people have got sufficiently drunk. And the motions will be, this house believes hentai is art.
No!
I'm not even announcing that. But then, obviously, because everyone wanted this, but it's not going on, it wasn't going to go on the term card. This house believes Shrek is more culturally significant than a Good Friday agreement.
I don't know, I've asked. So I can
be mine.
What is yours? Which one do you want for it?
This house believe, this house would unite Aaron on the crown.
Bye.
We're here.
So if you want to do any of those mini debates, it'll just be 1v1 on the three different ones rather than this usually, come to me in the pub and say I'd like to speak proper up on either of those and I'll write it down.
Yeah, just let Ellie know as well. But that's grand, thank you. Yes. State your name as well.
I'm normally not on the tops, don't worry. But on the 27th of February, the Literatics hosting the ANI Schools competition. So we'll be bringing schools from right across the land to come in and debate. I need student volunteers because council can't do it by ourselves. We need people to judge. We need people who will help get students.
Who are judgmental people?
If you haven't debated yet and you want to go, well, you know what, I could actually really win it. A debate against a 16-year-old. No, it's your time to shine.
You can also be recruited as a swing speaker in the last minute and be forced to get protest against 16-year-olds.
I thought you were going to say swinger there.
That can also be arranged. Thank you very much. Anyone else got any council announcements before I move on to let Mr. Hamill have the floor again for a second so I can have a bit of wine? No? Right. Yes. So, for those of you who don't know, Dermot is a first year and he's gave his first ever speech at any debating society 10 weeks ago on the absolutely brilliant motion that you're filling out quite a lot. This house would ban QB love, which is obviously the entire reason Dermot's had success in debating ever since. But Dermot is now, we went down to Dublin, he's in the final of the Irish Times debating competition, the most prestigious debating competition in all of Ireland. So please give Dermot a massive round of applause, please. And it is my absolute great pleasure to let Dermot have the floor to say a quick
and
thank you.
And didn't have to force an accent.
Didn't have to force it whatsoever.
For those watching, it's just right being
in. Yeah. I promise we do not drink at the society. So it's been a long time since I first stood up here. I mean, 10 weeks is a long time to someone as small and young as me. But so far I've lasted longer than Liz Truss. In my first speech, I stood before the House and debated QUB love and whether it should be banned. And I took that in a direction which involved orgies, Twilight, book burning, and the Donnybrook rats.
Yeah!
And it has been a roller coaster ever since. I mean,
just bob up going everywhere.
Well, yes, quite a lot of that. But to to join the society has been an absolute privilege. To debate with some of you, to share a drink in the pub, to really make friends with a group of people I may never have met otherwise. It has been an opportunity of a lifetime. I mean, I've gotten to debate with Jim Allister. I've made inappropriate comments about Jim Shannon. I've debated Mandatory Coalition more times than I can count. And it has just been an absolute pleasure. It's been an honour. And there are a few people I have to thank. I have to thank Ellie Byrne. Because without Ellie... Without Ellie, I wouldn't have learned how to debate. I wouldn't have been forced into debates at the last minute. Dermot, will you speak about a general strike with 7 minutes to go? Dermot.
Welcome.
Dermot, will you talk about liberal feminism as a man?
History's greatest mistake.
I have gotten a job. I got to shout at members of the Christian Union because of Ellie. I've learned so much and I can't thank Ellie enough because I wouldn't still be, I probably still wouldn't be at the society if not for Ellie.
Aww.
I have to thank her. I have to thank Talcha McSparran, our external convener, because without Talcha bullying me on my first time in the Literific to sign up for the fucking Irish Times. Dermot, you'll be grand at the Irish Times. And the amount of stress and strain that I can put on to Talcha, but also the absolute crack, the debates. I mean, this was my first team in the debate, me, James and Talcha in this exact order. God fucking help yous. I have to thank James, because without James I wouldn't have learned how to debate. James' training workshops have gotten me through. James has taught me how to debate. James obviously wrote the slides.
You gotta thank Kira as well.
So, by proxy, obviously, I have to thank Kira. But it has been an honour to debate alongside. Oh, no. To debate with James has been an honour. To with someone of the calibre of James Horch in HLM, it has been brilliant. There's one more person I have to thank, and I know he's going to be all teary eyed as I do it.
Just but I have somebody else.
Rory McSparran. For always getting me out for lunch. But Mr. President, Matthew Taylor, I have to thank Matthew. Matthew brought me into this society about a day before my first speech. Dermot, if I buy you a pint, will you speak on the first debate of the year? You can pick whatever side, which is a pleasure Ellie doesn't offer me. But Matthew brought me into this society. There's no one I can thank any more than I can Matthew. Matthew got me through the times. It was Matthew's support. It was the text, Dermot, are you all right? Dermot, please don't break down over the times. It's not that bad. We won't hate you if you lose. Dermot, please don't stop crying about the times. You'll be grand. But it was Matthew that first ran up to give me a hug after the debate.
Aww.
It was Matthew that was crying on all the photos. It was Matthew that got me to go on the piss afterwards. Matthew bought me my first Literific pint. So, Mr. President, I have to say thank you very much. And I want to also thank the Donnybrook Rats. But most of all, my friends, I want to thank all of you. I want to thank the society for having me. And I want to toast all of you. I mean, none of you have any drinks, but me and the president do. So, to the Literific. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'll be honest, I've absolutely no idea what is next. So
it
I'll
is.
Have a... Yes, thank you. Thanks very much for that, Dermot. Yeah, I'll get to that in a second. You know how proud I am of you, and it's been an absolute pleasure to bring you into the society and to see you grow so much. I mean, the first debate was on fucking ban QB love, and the amount of swear words and orgies I heard in that debate, I'm surprised you're still here. So I just want to say a real massive thank you and good luck for the final. But now it's time to welcome my Great host, welcome our secretary Josie to read the minutes from last debate. But before I do, this is an absolute masterpiece by our very own James Orchard, who's written these minutes. So just a massive thank you, James, as well.
Hey, hello everyone, and welcome to the debate tonight. I'd like to start by thanking James Orchard for HLM for stepping in as acting secretary for the last meeting, and I'm looking forward to reading these out. But also thank you to everyone who was able to come to the last Christmas mini debate. The games, it was a lot of fun, so thank you for everyone who could come to that and the Christmas dinner. So, on the 8th of December 2022, the Queen's University Belfast Literary and Scientific Society convened for the 12th ordinary meeting of the 174th session for the motion, "This House Believes Liberal Feminism Never Ditched Its Racist Roots." As usual, the meeting began with announcements, with the President stating, "Welcome to the last ever serious meeting of the Literific." Ellie Byrne HLM discussed the Christmas debate and the mini debates. According to Ellie, people should go as, "I'm a broke bitch and I put money into this." After a particularly eloquent reading of the minutes, the meeting turned to private members' business. Noah Barney raised the issue of Doug Beattie being called out by Edwin Poots for sexist remarks in the Assembly, suggesting this was hypocrisy. Responses were heard by Roisin Keenan, Ellie Byrne HLM, Dermot the Rat Whisperer Hamill, Ryan Hoey HLM. Jodie Morrow HLM raised the issue of Alliance candidate Jackie Code, receiving harassment within the Alliance party. Responses were heard from Dermot Hamill, Roisin Keenan, Jack Hanlon, and in addition to remarks by the President. We then moved on to the President's questions. James Orchard HLM asked the President if he had acquired some weaponry. The President presented a sword to him, which James proceeded to disembowel the President and proclaimed himself President. Terence Metcalf asked the President if he had German ancestry and if he would proclaim himself Kaiser or if he would proclaim someone else Kaiser. The President suggested James Orchard a correct response. Roisin then stood and thanked the Society for doing a joint debate with the FemSoc. She then stated that she is impartial before saying that the proposition were correct. She then decided to sit down and neck her flask full of whiskey. The vote of prior opinion then took place, with 28 votes for the proposition, 0 votes for the opposition, and 7 Alliance voters. So the proposition had it by a narrow margin. The first speaker for the proposition was Maya Lynch. She noted that liberal feminism emerged from the writings of people such as Mary Maya argued that liberal feminism attempts to work within a patriarchal system. She stated that liberal feminism helped to achieve women's suffrage and greater representation for white women. These achievements, according to her, meant nothing. She claimed that liberal feminism resulted in Margaret Thatcher and Hillary Clinton. These are no friends of black people, black women, according to Maya. Material privilege is more important than actual achievements for such feminists, being too Western and capitalist focused. First speaker on the proposition was Jodie Morrow HLM. Jodie began by stating that it was her great pleasure to speak here tonight, hinting at some sarcasm. She began by defining liberal feminism and that she did not believe in defending it in its full forms. She stated that liberal feminism did have its racist roots, but that should go without saying, considering it is a product of its time. Jodie argued that feminism is constantly changing with different waves. She stated that dealing with the main issues through a liberal lens is not inherently bad, and that it deals with issues that intersectional feminism does not. She stated that to support the motion suggests that no progress has been made, which is demonstrably untrue. Second speaker for the proposition was Jack Hanlon. Jack argued that liberal feminists treat calls for solidarity as a threat, and thus they cannot be claimed to be activists. By engaging with liberal activism, they are working with the existing model and can never fully challenge it. Jack argued that liberal feminists seek to perpetuate the model they claim to oppose by profiting off of colonialism and the Western world, in the Western world. He used the example of the UN Women Camp program to demonstrate the vast majority of girls in Uganda have experienced sexual assault, which white women do nothing to help. To feign solidarity, this is a way to avoid guilt, according to Jack, but they offer nothing of value. Jack argued that using liberalism and democracy to achieve progress does nothing for minority women. Second speaker for the opposition was Noah Barnley. He began by stating that progress had clearly been achieved. He noted that liberal feminism can be used to alter society and frameworks. Noah argued that the proposition had ignored black and minority liberal feminists and that liberal feminism is pragmatic rather than radical revolutionary feminism. Social democracy and liberal feminists propose social reforms which can make tangible reforms and have supported minority rights. They are not exclusionist. He argued that the UN looks at women throughout the world and is not Western-centric. Bad actors exist in all movements, and it is unfair to single out liberal feminism. The final speaker on the proposition was Ellie Byrne H. Lem. Ellie began by defining liberal feminism in relation to intersectional feminism as culture and value-based. Ellie argued that they overemphasize social structures and culture. They stated that intersectional feminism is the method of eliminating sexism. You must then tackle racism, bigotry, and existing structures of society to achieve equality. Class, sex, and race are all important and have been ignored by liberal feminists. The final speaker for the opposition was Dermot Hamill. Dermot admitted he had Googled various questions which led him down a rabbit hole to Twitter, where he had discovered Cuban intersectional revolutionary feminism. He discussed prior points regarding Uganda. He admitted several times that he did not have a fucking idea of what he was talking about. From James's perspective, this was like watching one of the Final Destination films. You know what is happening, and he knows it as well, but you can't stop it. He argued that the opposition to liberal feminism doesn't work and has never worked. He argued liberal feminism had achieved much. Questions were heard by one person due to time constraints. It was one of the mixed barons, but I don't know which one, but it wasn't helpful. The voter speaker ability then took place. There were 28 votes for the proposition, 4 votes for the opposition, and 2 alliance voters, so the proposition had it. May I take the minutes as read?
This tonight. That's right. I'm not gonna neck it, I've already had one.
You're gonna neck it if I'm drunk.
I'm gonna neck it for you to my shoes.
Thank you very much, Juicy. It's now my pleasure to turn our attention to private members' business for the evening. Right. For those of you who are new, this is your opportunity to kind of share your thoughts on something that's going on in the news. Any terrible controversial opinions that you have, as most of them do, and slag off any fellow university societies that you wish to. This is your opportunity. Not mentioning the law sock at all when I say that at all. So if you've got a point, you can raise your hand now, and I will not take all of these because there's way too many. And I'll start, I may as well. Yes, state your name for the minutes, please.
First of all, I'd like to thank the Law Society for providing tonight's outfit. Similar to their merch, my good bow tie never came and it doesn't make a good shirt. I want to bring up the topic of the ASU elections, because we really love ASU in here. Mm-hmm. Mr. President, it has become very clear over the last little while, having flicked through the ASU manifestos of old, how absolutely god fucking awful the ASU is. I decided to go through our current president's ASU manifesto, not your interesting one, but our dear Emma Murphy, who promised to get all of our lectures recorded in all our schools. Guess what, they're not! Is it time that we get rid of the ASU? That's why I like to ask that question.
Well, that's a debate we can have at the end of the year. But if we have any further points on this particular topic, of course, it's this side of how he else would be, right? Yes, state your name for the minutes, please.
Daniel McCormick. Mr. President, I've heard rumours and rumblings.
This is not President's questions.
Might be interested. No, I know, but you might be interested in running for the ASU. And I'm just curious as to why is Emma Murphy, why she never thought to resolve world hunger like you have. And clearly you're going to do that whenever you become SU president. But I wonder, how can this, you know, the caliber that we've got in there, how can they walk in and not think to resolve world hunger? All they're doing is bringing all our rents down and, you know, solving all our other problems. But world hunger should be higher up on their agenda, and I'm angered that it's not.
Yes, dear. Yes, please.
James Orchard, Michelle. Only there was going to be somebody running for student union president who was, again, proposing things like that. He was going to end the war in Ukraine by his mere Brad Pitt-esque looks. Maybe he was going to maybe end, I don't know, all homelessness in the city. Maybe actually have, dare I say, mental health awareness.
Couldn't have that.
If only there was a candidate who was going to be running with policies that can clearly be achieved in a year.
May I remind members, this is not President's questions.
Well, I'm not asking
that. Yes, state your name for minutes, please. Quiet, please.
I just find, like, we're one of the only ones in the UK that the Queens actually pay our issue, which is like, you know what a union is, it's kind of the opposite of what a union should be. But I just want to picture this, right? So we've got a really fancy ass fucking building facing us, and I'm sure a lot of you can see that we're mouldy, barely livable, worse than a prison cell accommodation that Queens, you know, makes you pay too much for, and then they built this really fancy place you can hang out and have free eating because they're so generous. But I just, what would we call it if, like, say, a group that meant to be lobbying for us got a multi-million pound building built for them to sit in? What would we call that? And then they come to the elections and we're like, we've got your intentions, but who paid for their big ass fancy comfy seats and building across there? Sounds a bit corrupt to me, you know? Like, but are we actually doing it?
They love your Chester Academy.
Oh God. Oh God.
Yes.
Yes.
Do you actually have a point? Quiet, please. Yes. Yes. State your name for the minutes, please.
Well, I would remind Ellie, you're talking about the big fancy building. I remind the house that the last building was very nice and fancy and turned out to be rumoured to be full of asbestos. So I wouldn't be too jealous of whatever shoddy construction the SU used. And I suggest that it's probably structurally unsound and highly flammable. Stupidly cashless.
Don't get any ideas there, Ellie.
Quiet, thank you, Sam. Yes, sorry, I've already come to
you. On one point, this here.
Right.
That may be true, there may be an asbestos, may burn down, but it does approach slushing machine.
They don't take cash.
Sure. Does anyone on this side of the house at all want to make a comment before I go?
The normal people.
I've already come to you before. No. Yes, state your name for the minutes, please.
Hello, everyone. My name is Kirswell. No, I can get. essentially, I do know that it did indeed have asbestos in it. I know that for a fact because I've been here for 6 years, and I think two presidents have complained about it that I'm still friends with. Another aspect of it is that if anyone is wondering whether they should run for the SU, even if you think you have no chance of winning, do it. Because I knew a guy who went for post-grad and he had no chance of winning whatsoever, lost abysmally, but he only had one person on his campaign team. So guess who got £100 bar tab to themselves for the entire night? Yeah, if you're on like the campaign team, you get a bar tab split. Oh yeah, a bar tab split amongst you.
Hold on. That's
all the world.
Hold on, wait, what?
Yeah.
Really?
No, you do. And like when you
get. Well, that's me.
Quiet. yes, state your name for minutes, please.
Noah Barnley. To change the subject a wee bit, I was scrolling down TikTok and I hear the first audio about Prince Harry's penis. And
so
I was wondering if the rest of the House agreed with me was completely tone deaf for him to bitch and moan about his financial problems given the state of the economy, is it?
Thoughts on Prince Harry? I've heard enough.
Have you not heard about this piece?
I've heard enough.
He's famous.
For someone new, anyone that isn't, hasn't already said enough. No? Oh, sorry, yes. State your name for the minutes, please.
Jack Hanlon. As regards to Prince Harry mentioned about getting money from his family, this is not a new thing for the royal family. You must remember the Queen's Nazi uncle did the exact same thing when he went to America. And they're also kind of both have murderous intent, so I think it's sort of been present for the royal family, the discussion.
Yes, state your name for the minutes, please.
This is a new point. Or do you guys want to air out your...
Well, we'll talk about Prince Harry for like two more parts. Yes.
Right, my name's Kirtle. Right, so, in the spirit, you all know who I am. I'm here every week by this point. Yeah. Might as well be a piece of furniture. But it's from Los Angeles. For friends, but essentially, see what Prince Harry and Meghan Markle know at large. Genuinely, it irritates me to no end, but for a slightly different reason. So, my mother, my dear sweet mother, I can't... No, it's the fact that she goes, oh, no, I don't care about them both, but I'm going to rant about them, and I'm going to watch all their stuff. And I even said to her once, I was just like, you do realise that they're doing this so you pay more attention to them instead of the, I don't know legally, I think, I'll be safe, alleged paedophile that is currently in the royal family. So it makes sense that all you hear about is Meghan and Harry, and they put all their hatred towards them, because then you don't talk about the alleged paedophile. And the fact that he's basically escaped justice with just a slap on the wrist.
Thank
and
you.
And that's the basic gist.
Thank you. Yes, I'll have to. I cannot wait. Stay in here for the minutes, please.
It's good to be back.
He doesn't go shoes on. He doesn't sweat. How did he do? He was at a pizza party, a royal member. Royal family was at a pizza party. He could have been there. There's no logical way. Unless he's lying, which the royal family would never do. We all trust him. Oh yes, I miss Lizzie so much. So much. I had worn the eyes out. So I just want to know everybody's thoughts on the quite slanderous allegations against poor Andre.
What? We're gonna skip that one. What a way to come back. Last one. I'm moving on to another topic after this. No. No. Stay in here for minutes, please.
Danny McCormick, to slightly track back on to the original question about Harry's penis. So the thing about it, right, is that he's come away from the royal family in England, and he's gone to America. He's gone to the land of the free, and the home of the brave, where he is free to talk about his penis. And to be honest, I don't like your objections, or your objections, or anyone else's objections. To Harry getting up and talking about his penis.
That's because politics isn't done at all, doesn't make that more.
I must admit, I'm a little bit curious to hear what he has to say. If he wants to talk about it, I'm willing to sit and listen to what Harry has to say about his penis every day.
It's partly frostbitten.
I am sorry, I am moving on from this topic.
Yes.
Do we have any other topics of discussion? Yes!
Mr. President, I would kindly ask that you expel Luke from the
stage. Objection!
Crime he's brought into this.
Can we tell him to put some shoes on?
No.
At the very least.
Point of order. I remember at the last debate of the society to tell you to never ever come back with a suit on. You have a suit on this evening.
I'm not a suit. It's a pair of jeans, no shoes. No
oh God. Oh God. I retract.
And at one point, like, he is wearing a hat indoors, which is not.
that's the worst thing I do.
It is. I think the most emotionless present.
Yes, motion.
I'd like to propose that Luke McGuire be bound by the society to wear shoes while in the centre of the whole time.
Seconded! Can we, that forces
can
a vote.
Can I amend that motion so anyone has to, everyone has to wear shoes? Only Luke McGuire has to wear
shoes. No one else! So we've a vote then on this. All those in favour of forcing Luke McGuire. Quiet! All those in favour of forcing Luke McGuire and everyone else to wear shoes, raise your hand now. All those against. All.
So much for the tolerant
left. Anyone abstaining? Any Alliance voters?
I dare you force this man to wear clothes.
I think that passes then, yes. Anyway, moving on. Any final points? Genuinely a serious point. Is it a serious point?
It is a serious point.
Yes.
Okay, so you're pressing news tonight because I want opinions on this from people who are on the opposite side of the political spectrum from me because, yeah. So, yeah. I know your opinion on this. I've been prosecuting you for 2 fucking years. Sorry.
I am going to lose the world.
I want to hear this. Anyway, sorry.
Quiet.
Anyway. So obviously I've talked a lot about the anti-protest bill that happened in England in June 28th, right? Now we have this ban to strike bill, right? And the public order bill. Basically, so on June 28th it was the Royal Assembly was passing sentence bill, which meant that you could not protest without government permission, and even if you had government permission to protest in that exact spot, you could not be causing public disturbance in any way, whether you disturb someone's walkway or create disturbing noise, and you'd be arrested for 10 years plus. You've probably seen stuff about this with white people, white papers at the funeral that was criminalising it. Anyway. So there's that. Now that nurses and ambulance workers are trying to go on strike, they're actually not just putting in this minimum level of service, right? And saying that France, Spain and Italy have it. France, Spain and Italy have it. However, it is that minimum level of service is negotiated with the trade union. Rishi wants his minister to put the level of service and see this proposed level of minimum service is higher than what we have on non-strike days. What it is it's making illegal for workers to withdraw their rights to work, and then the public order bill is making protest full on and strikes basically illegal. As a leftist, I think this is absolutely fucking abhorrent, and as a commie, yeah. And as a commie, obviously, you know, workers should be able to take away their rights to not work. I want to know what people on the right think about this in terms of freedom of speech, freedom to protest, and freedom to assemble being absolutely constricted, because I only see leftists talk about this right now.
Thank you. I only have two. I only have.
Do you?
I only have 2 minutes, so I will take 2 or 3, max 3. Yes, state your name for minutes, please.
Brian Hoey, H1. You've raised a couple of the bills there. I think that the noisy protests, as it were, within the police and sentencing bill. I think it's that legislation's wrong, I'm against it. In terms of minimum service levels, I actually think that in terms of some public services are so important, like the police not allowed to strike, for example. And I think some services are so important that withdrawing your labour from it used to be the Royal College nursing, for example, just used to have it that they wouldn't strike because they recognised how much an important service it was. So I think that some services you shouldn't have strikes full stop. But I think actually the really harmful, like, authoritarian bill that's going through at the moment is the online safety bill, which they have amended it because there was the legal but harmful provision in it, which would have completely ended any sort of free speech online. But I think it shows how dangerous this piece of legislation is, that there's been an amendment put to the bill that showing the boat crossings across the English Channel in a positive light is now going to be classified as harmful information and classed as Category 1 illegal content. So service providers will be forced to take it down to prevent their users from seeing it. And no matter what you think on that, on the debate about migration across the Channel, I don't think you should be suppressing that speech. I think there is an authoritarian route to Sunak's government that I'm not comfortable with.
Thank you very much. I will take 2 more, and they will have to be less than 30 seconds because we're already behind time, because we've had a certain speech that took things over with. Yes, but it has to be a serious point. I will cut you off if it isn't serious.
Actually,
well, no, I'm just saying,
say that as staunch capitalist. So as I would be against anything that forced people into labour that they did not want to commit to. It's the reason I would be against so many public services, because it should be a private sector. Where people come go, no, I'm not even joking, come go, it goes in and say, it'll be mandated by the government, you will work for us and you will work now. You can strike whenever you want, you can leave a job whenever you want, you can also be fired whenever you want. I think there needs to be less and less public service so there'll be greater and greater amounts of freedom for both companies and individuals.
Thank you very much. I do genuinely appreciate you keeping it short. Yes, I'll take, you've had a hand up for fucking ages, so yes.
I think to the point about, that Ellie mentioned about this being a direct attack on freedom of speech and freedom of protest, I mean, these attacks have been going on since 2003. I don't see them like stopping, and not to be one to advocate for breaking the law, but say it's all the past, we should try.
How quick is it?
The DUP don't go back in the government, those legislation could be proposed over here by the Secretary of State, by the way. Just a heads up.
Okay, thank you. And it is now my absolute great displeasure to turn our attention to President's questions for the evening. If you have a question for me, put your hand up.
Anybody ask the question?
I don't want to hear it, but I'll have to hear it, so why not? Yes. State your name for the minutes, please.
Hello, Mr. President, as you know, we travelled down to Dublin last week for the English gathering. But, and obviously yesterday we were the Dubliners and I simply become the unionist. Mr. President, one has to admit, you looked particularly dapper in your suit. Would you also say that you enjoy my suit as well?
Thank you very much, Dermot. I'll be honest, like there was 12 speeches, they all sounded the same. They're all from Dublin, they all sound the exact same, no matter which university they're from. But really, I'll be honest, I was only really looking at your suit the whole time, so I can't really say anything other than that on that one. So you look particularly dapper, so...
Sexual tension in the centre?
Yes, state your name for the minutes, please.
Jack Allen. Won't ask about breakfast, I will ask about your Christmas dinner, specifically. Because I've always found it interesting how different people
The litter for Christmas dinner or the actual Christmas dinner? Because I didn't eat much at the litter for Christmas dinner, as you'll know. So we had it was a tough year, to be honest. We just had a turkey. We had quite a small turkey for the four of us. We usually have our grandparents over, but it was just the four of us this time. So it was quite nice. We played games and stuff, and afterwards it was pretty chill. So it was good. Thank you. Yes, the 8 minutes, please.
Megan here. I wanted to ask this at the last, but I'm going to ask you anyway,
as
president. So, will you be buying Hogwarts Legacy or no?
Absolutely not.
Why?
No way. Because I'm broke, but also I can't express political opinion, can I? No, I'm broke. yes.
I suppose people might have heard there was like a new animated series called Velma out, which basically to summarize it, butchers the memory of our beloved Scooby-Doo and his Mystery Incorporated friend. If you could destroy the beloved childhood classic cartoon, what would it be and how would you destroy it?
How would I destroy it?
Yeah.
I think I would.
If you wanted like to destroy, I don't know, Aunt Mabel or the dog, how would you do it?
Did anyone watch My Parents Are Aliens on CITV?
Yeah.
I would absolutely destroy that in a fire if I was to give a chance. It is the most, it is the way that it predicts certain changes in social society is not particularly good, so I would destroy that if you were asking me that. Anyone else besides Daniel that has a, yeah, okay, what going on?
So just because one of them across as I was ask this. This one has a question mark at the end. So there's a flash things. Orgy.
Yes, please. Any further questions?
Question.
I, any, if I think rather than calling a vote of expulsion for Luke, I think we should call a vote of expulsion for Daniel.
Like, I mean,
it's been tried once. We can try it again if you want. Yes.
Society, what did you have for breakfast?
You know what, you should lose.
I'll be honest to members, I think they can accept. I think I lied to the house about 12 times in a row last year. I don't think I've ever had breakfast at Little Rupert before today.
Never had breakfast.
I did genuinely, and I'm being serious, and hand on heart, I did genuinely have Weetabix for breakfast this morning, and I promise you'll not believe me. I know you won't believe me, but I genuinely did. So I've had Weetabix, had breakfast, which is why I'm in a good mood. So that's what I had for breakfast. And if we've no Oh god.
Start the debate.
Right, anyway, so no president's questions left, so we'll go to the vote of prior opinion. So this is your personal view on the motion, so if you believe the Oscars have been rigged, you can put your hand up now and I will count your votes.
How does anybody have an opinion on this?
I don't care. I've never watched the Oscars.
14? If you believe the Oscars are not rigged, you can put your hand up now. If you believe the Oscars aren't rigged, you can put your hand up now.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
If you wish to abstain on the motion for Alliance voter, you can put your hand up now.
Oh,
I'm disappointed in you. 12? Okay, fine. I'll take 15. So, do we 15? 15?
0.
Do we have the quiet please? Do we have the final numbers for tonight's debate?
35,
8 votes nay, and 15 abstentions, so the
proposition have it.
Thank God, that's over.
That's exactly the same.
It's almost time to... James, I swear to God. It's almost time to welcome our first speaker for tonight's debate, but I will quickly go through the rules for the benefit of our new members first. So each speech is 7 minutes in length, with the first and last minute making up protected time, which means you can't ask any questions during that time. So at the end of the first minute, I will sound the bell for the first time, which means you can then ask questions to the speaker. To do so, you can stand, raise your hand, and ask pointed information or on that point to make clear that the speaker wish to make a pointed information, at which the speaker may accept. Quiet, please, Daniel.
I don't know you walking
them up. Or reject you. Quiet, please. If the speaker accepts your point, it can last no more than 15 seconds before returning to your seat. If a speaker rejects your point, you cannot raise your hand again or have another member ask POI shortly afterwards, as that is considered barracking. If you feel a speaker on the opposite side of the house has misunderstood or misrepresented your point, you can raise a point of clarification, which I will have to take as the chair. If you misuse a point of information, as it has done, a point of clarification, as has been done previously last term, I will be very, very, very cross. I will ask you to buy a pint as a suitable fine, which if anyone wants to distribute that, they can. Because for points of clarification, I'm points of clarification. If you believe any rules have been broken, or if you need to ask me something during the debate, such as if a window can be opened, or if there's an emergency, or if you feel a member's being abusive, or acting outside the constitution, then you can say point of order. But points of order are reserved for serious circumstances only, and if you misuse them, I will be very, very, very cross, and you'll owe me more than...
Do you just want to clarify on that? Are we allowed to make points of order about his lack of shoes? The more you talk about it, the more you
I think you owe me a pint after this debate now. And with the rules duly outlined, it is my privilege to welcome the first speaker opening the argument for the proposition of tonight's debate, Jack Hanlon.
Hello, you've left your big book up here. You need this?
It's the dodgy dossier.
This is the blackmail book.
Those are the files that were in Biden's garage. I just want to start this by saying, I want to recognize that a lot of you didn't pick up on this, but Luke's actually here in cosplay. He's going as a woman in a Tarantino film. Just before I say anything else, I should say I have a pretty tentative relationship with movies. I don't watch them. I don't watch the Oscars. Last time I watched a movie, I watched Kung Fu Panda 2 by myself, drank a bottle of Merlot, and I actually started crying whenever he went to his wee goose fell and said he was his dad. But I will say this, the Oscars are clearly rigged. If they were a meritocracy of value, Marvel movies would sweep every single year. Me personally, I love when the big man, who is also a good man, beats the bad man, and loves the military. It makes me feel very happy and excited and patriotic for the West and mildly aroused. So I've decided, as a result of the rigging of the, to fully demonstrate how they're rigged and they don't actually operate in a fair way, I have written my own Oscar winning film. And this is the synopsis as follows. Set in 1940s France during the Second World War, Brad Pitt is a wheelchair-bound painter who uses a violin and a Remington shotgun to defend the reinterpreted and simplified French culture and the French people from 40 CGI clones of Christoph Waltz, like in The Matrix, supported by a harem of an A-list female liberal Hollywood elites, just large enough to barely pass the Bechdel test. It strikes deep in the heart of all of those watching who are rich and white. No, not yet. As Pity Deer overcomes complex human emotions portrayed very aptly by only screaming and no other form of acting, it ends with him facing his true self, falling in a deep romance that is never actually shown physically on screen with Timothée Chalamet, who, in my opinion, is the glowing paragon of proving that with messy hair and a chokehold on old businessmen, white twinks can really do everything. Yes, so...
Have you considered America? Fuck yeah.
I will say, outside of the jokes of the speech, that is one of the very few movies that I have seen, and it is one of my favourite movies of all time. I propose, personally, that we drop the veil and we allow me, personally, to create my own award show for the movies that really matter, truly working to enlighten those who bring the most value to the industry as a whole. As a competition in my favour, me and my team have decided to name this clash of great minds the Jack Off Awards, because it's a jack off. Firstly, I will present Daniel Craig two awards. Firstly, a recognition of his great work in convincing thousands of straight men that they can go from a 3 to a 6 if they wear a suit and put gel in their hair. And also as the greatest gamer of the year for his proud displaying of his Among Us habit in Glass Onion. I will make the awards fair again. The corruption of the Academy can easily be seen through the cowardly conspiracy to snub hero Alec Baldwin from his award for Boss Baby due to a minor slip up that could have just happened to anybody. On a more serious note, I also propose we subject all of the awful members of the Hollywood elite to their own works of fiction as an award for being scum lizard people. For example, we crucify Mel Gibson, like in The Passion of the Christ, and I believe that Roman Polanski should be brought back to the US and get fully Macbethed. Finally, to wrap up, I haven't got that much prepared, we should award Jared Leto time off for Morbius, wherein he can do another solo retreat into the desert with his cult, but this time not come back. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jack, for your brilliant speech. It is my, I don't know if it's my pleasure or not, James Morton, HLM, with his delightful presentation.
You know.
I won't upset her.
James,
tell me
about your
heart.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Start.
Oh, members are never going to come back after this. James, I started.
Mr. President. Cinema. The French
French New Wave director Jean-Luc Godard in 1998 released the culmination of around a decade's worth of work called The History of Cinema. The entire project is regrettably about 5 hours long, and it's pretty absurd. Well, it's made by a French person, what do you expect? As one reviewer on Letterboxd puts it, at one point Godard cuts from a porn threesome, including scatology, to a laugh track over footage of disabled people, to an emaciated corpse being thrown into a mass grave. This is all in about the space of about a minute. One goes away wondering what the hell even is cinema. Thankfully, I have a large library and I decided to go consult the literature. As a result, I'd like to offer the following quotation. You're really fucking this up, aren't you? Again, these are truly profound. Fucking put it back. I will say next slide, please. Before I have an emotional breakdown, it's absurd to argue the Oscars are rigged. Again, my joke's already been ruined here, but there's about 10,000 members of the Academy Awards. You can never rig an election by about 10,000 votes. Next slide. Oh, how'd that get there? Anyways, I think, anyways, the issue at hand is that cinema has become quite decadent and crap in recent years. Mr. President, it seems today that all you see is violence in movies and sex on TV. Where are those good old-fashioned values that we once relied on? Let's have a look at the films that are being suggested for Best Picture this year. Next slide. The Wheel. There are no wheels in this movie. Rather, this is a movie, as you can see, about a Reddit admin. 1 star. Next slide. The Banshees of Inchmarlow. It's a genuinely wonderful film. I saw it before Christmas, and let me tell you, you haven't really seen this. That's the joke. You haven't seen this unless you close your eyes. Thus, for about 2.5 hours, it's President America's McCormick over here having multiple personality disorder and having an argument with himself. 4 fingers out of 5. Next slide. Tom Hanks dressed in a fat suit like Danny DeVito doing an impression for Borat for 3 hours. Best movie ever. As a public service this evening, I believe it's important to set out the philosophy of the proposition. As a result, I'd like to propose my own, next slide, philosophy of cinema. Now, the Oscars aren't rigged, it's just that the movies are shite. Mr. President, everyone has their favourite film genres. For some it's period dramas, others it's sci-fi, others it's action, for others it's Delta P diving accident safety videos. I don't judge so long as it's not French. Now, at the Council Media Monday, the President informed us of his 3 favourite films. I'll share with them tonight. Next slide. Here they are.
Oh, God.
No. I did not.
I also found out what Mr. Hamill's favourite are. Next slide.
This is absolutely...
There. And I've also found out what Rory's are. Next slide. And here is.
Oh God.
But these are all wrong. They're all wrong. I'd like to reveal the best 5 movies in history. So please, here they are here. Tale of a few Italians, my own masterpiece, representation for true ethnic minorities, the Italians, and the man. Nice. Next slide. I put this into an AI. This tells us what true cinema is. I allow you to read it here because I'm not going to bother reading it off the screen. An AI actually did this. And there's more where that comes from, because I'm going to do another movie at some point. Basically, Mr. President, what is it? Basically, films have degenerated.
Degenerated
synthesis. Same. So, for instance, here's modern day CGI. It's crap, it's in Star Wars, there's women in it, but nobody likes that. Okay, doesn't look realistic. Now, let's have a look at some true old-fashioned CGI. I know, boys and girls, it's not real. No. Mr. President, I'd like to address, do not change this.
Okay.
Mr. President, I'd like to say here, in years gone by, leading Hollywood starlets were sexy and attractive. Like they were real spellbinding creatures. Nowadays, they're all just used for sex appeal and nobody's really into it. Mr. President, I'm going to show you a picture of a leading Hollywood actress from like the 1930s here. And I want you to tell me, President, are you turned on? Next slide.
Absolutely.
It's erotic, isn't it? Look at it, the beautiful curves. Now, Mr. President. Jim Shannon, indeed. Okay. Carrying on now. I really don't have much else after this. Don't change it.
Can I have my cigarette back?
No, I've already
done it. I don't need it after this.
Yeah, no. Well, not to be orgy there, certainly. But, really, I'll get to the point here, is the Oscars aren't rigged. I mean, the films are just crap. They're obscene. They're liberal nonsense. Not like my screenplay for the award-winning film Dermot Holmes and the Rats of Donegal. We used to be back in history, we used to have actual messages of hope in films. And I'd like to leave you with the alleged ending to a great film, Rambo 3. Here we are. Next slide.
Yeah!
Thank you. I want to go to the pub, let's go.
James, I'm sorry, I have absolutely no words. It is my great pleasure to welcome Murray McFarren, the second speaker.
Bring it back. Put the other one up.
What other one?
The Afghanistan. Please put it back on slide, please.
Beauty.
I'd just like to reaffirm my favourite film is not Brokeback Mountain. It's a good film. It's not my favourite. I'm going to talk about some of my favourite films today when I get to the top of my film thing. Each year, the Oscars are apparently pick and choose the best movies to become nominees and then one to be a winner. But ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you that this is not a fair fight. With three examples tonight, I can show you that the Oscars are rigged. Alvin and the Chipmunks deals with heavy topics such as schizophrenia, adoption, child alcohol abuse, from Alvin because the A on his shirt actually symbolises, apparently it stands for alcohol. And did I say child abuse?
That's great for the minutes, child abuse, and everyone laughed.
On that point.
Yes.
Have you considered the fact that chipmunks are a much inferior vermin to those of the rats in Donegal? Dermot, shut up.
Are rats speaking to you again? Usually, this would be a gold mine for the Oscars, also known as Oscar bait. But then, why did I not win? Or even be nominated? Do you want to know why? Because the Oscars won't admit to how great a movie this is. The character development from Dave Seville, from loving no one, to loving the chipmunks, to loving even a woman. I'd like to say I did not write this.
On that point. Consider the fact that the film is three, basically, if you remember, those of you remember Fred on YouTube, this is basically three of him for about 2 hours going, why would you want to watch that?
It's
okay, emotionally scary.
It's good.
No,
yes,
no
yes.
Barking.
I don't mind.
No,
to finally falling in love with Uncle Ian. We see his character go through three stages of life that usually takes someone a whole lifetime to accept, but for him it only takes 30 days. This movie has the audience on the edge of their seats as we see the rodents trapped in cages like they deserve. I'm an Uncle Ian fangirl. This movie came out...
Are you okay?
Can I ask you?
I haven't even read it yet.
No, that's
yes.
You don't have to do this if you don't want
to. Okay, I can keep going.
There actually is a script.
This movie came out in 2007. Meaning it would have lost to No Country for Old Men. A movie about men not being able to be in a country.
They're just the same movie.
Because they're old. Why would that win over Talking Chipmunks? But enough about the chipmunks. I want to talk about a movie that caused a cultural reset. A movie that I'm sure that in 100 years it will be known as a classic. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking about Scooby-Doo live action. In 2002, when this movie came out, it exceeded audiences' expectations, scoring itself a whopping 4.6 out of 5. On Amazon, which I don't know if the streaming service was created back then. It was a great way to start back the Scooby-Doo multiverse. A much better multiverse than the Marvel multiverse, bar one, which I will get to later on in my speech, a very, very good film. This movie would have been the number one Oscar priority, but sadly it wasn't, and why not? What made the movie not win? I have found out. Each Academy member in 2003 was allergic to dogs. A man has his dogs out in this room tonight. A man on the opposition happens to be allergic to dogs as well. So they are biased again. The members included Brad Pitt, Jared Leto, someone called Kelly Clarkson, Jenna Fisher, and Obama's daughter.
What? Sorry.
Why did one of Obama's daughters have a vote in the Academy of Production today?
I don't know. They all realized that when they handed the award for Best Picture, they couldn't hand it to a dog. They would need an EpiPen right beside them in case he got too close. So instead, they gave it the award to.
On that point.
Yo.
I want to know who won it.
Don't take any more. You've got a minute left.
I have to go. Okay, just go.
Don't take any more. Has the Academy considered taking an antihistamine?
I don't know what that is. Chicago won. I watched interviews discussing this moment. I found a clip of the actor Fred talking about how he was disturbed that the Oscars couldn't rig an event so big for a movie that should have won. And when he was asked why they rigged it in favour for Scooby-Doo live action not to win, he said, "It's a talking dog, you know what I mean." Leading me to realise that it's Scooby's fault, all because of his species. This makes me deeply saddened that the Oscars can't look past species. On the topic of multiverses, I want to bring up the Marvel multiverse again, but I don't want to bring up all of it because every movie is terrible bar one. Morbius. I had a summary of the plot so you can understand the lengths of the work that must have been put in to create this insane masterpiece. He was determined to cure the disease that has plagued his entire life, Morbius conducts a drastic experiment which bears unforeseen consequences. Yes, that's correct. Morbius was a brave movie that shows the drastic change from disability to being the most powerful thing to ever exist. On March 31st in 2022, I was the first and only person to be in the cinema. I was shocked that basically no one showed up, but I didn't let that not put the movie down. After, this doesn't even make sense. Why am I reading this? Place it down now?
Yes.
Oh, anyway, wait, don't copy it, They are rigged, probably. But yeah, bye bye.
This is my point of resignation, I think. there is nothing else. There is nothing else I can do to save this. But next is Talisman's turn to the second speaker for the opposite. Talisman, that's the speaker for the opposite.
I just want to clarify that when Rory was looking at me with tears in his eyes like I had forced him to do this, and I wrote that speech, I didn't write that. Our younger sister, Fimbula, did. It wasn't me. I would not write that, but yeah.
Quietly.
May as well. Shut up.
Rat.
Hello, members of the house. Now, personally, I see myself...
oh, I've seen this.
Now, personally, I see myself as a bit of an Oscars expert. My Letterboxd account is extremely rigorous, and I did threaten to resign to get this put on the term card. That wasn't actually because I was going to resign, but I just wanted to be, you know, dramatic in a meeting. And I just want to point out the lack of presentations tonight from the proposition. This was the Oscars, they would not be winning for Best Visual Effects, that's for sure. Anyway, seeing as I'm super knowledgeable on the Oscars, I thought I would spread some of that knowledge to you tonight for my own goodwill. Yes? Oh, yeah.
I'd like to present the Oscar for the best
rap
presentation.
I can't believe this, but I am.
I'd like to start by thanking Ellie. For pretending to be German. I don't know. But yeah, my parents. I won this last year at the formal, so I'm just re-getting it, and I didn't want to lose it anyway. So you might have heard that Oscar movies like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest won Best Picture, or Daniel Day-Lewis is a three-time Oscar winner. These are all common misconceptions. Please ignore them, and everything that you think or you thought you knew about the Oscars tonight is a lie, and I will prove it to you, and I'm not lying, that the Oscars are not rigged. That doesn't even make sense. But yeah, next slide. The Oscars began all the way back in 1929 with the first movie to ever win called Julian Institution. It was a little beyond its time, as you can see, it was in color, which most movies weren't really in color till like 30 years later, so that was pretty impressive. It stars Edward Alexander de Pefl Norton III Esquire, because, and he plays two characters in it actually. Because as we all know, Brad Pitt is just a figment of Edward Norton's imagination. It's been out 100 years, please. Julian Institution was so popular that the Oscars couldn't just give it Best Picture once. So according to my historically accurate knowledge, they gave it Best Picture almost every single year for the next 100 years. There's only a few exceptions, but we don't talk about those until later in this PowerPoint when I do in fact talk about them. How did Julian Institution did this is by constantly updating the movie for modern audiences, as well as re-releasing the film in a different language every year. This meant it also won Best Foreign Film. Next slide. So that's why a lot of you may know this piece as Fight Club. The Academy just genuinely...
You have captured the first two, but what's the third one?
I'll get on to that. The Academy just genuinely think it has been the only movie really up to their standards, and they have to appease the film bro wannabe Sigma males as they are the backbone of this world, so it has to win every time. But beyond that, the real reasons it wins is because it has the amazing triple threat singer-songwriter Meatloaf in it. In its song notes, I will do anything for love, but I won't do that, are actually about how you will do anything for love, but lose an Oscar. And in fact, after his passing last year, the Oscars have implemented new rules so that they can keep giving Meatloaf even years and years after his death to keep the tradition alive. Next reason to really like Fight Club is you get to see Jared Leto get beaten up. And this can only be considered a good thing because every movie I go to watch shoot, like Girl Interrupted, American Psycho, Blade Runner, he just sneaks his way in somehow. But at least in Fight Club he experiences some pain. Okay. As well. As well as this, the message of Fight Club is inherently communist, so of course the Academy are going to love it, and it should win every year. After all, the Academy is mostly made up of rich white Americans, the founders and biggest fans of communism worldwide. It is not rigged because there's plenty of reasons it should win every year. Now you may be panicking and think, wait, how's it going to win this year? I haven't seen any new versions of Fight Club in our cinemas. It's going to break, it's almost 100 year streak. Well, remember I told you that they produce it in a new language every year, and this year they chose Irish, and the Irish translation of Fight Club is actually the Banshees of and I speak fluent Irish, so I would know, and that's not a lie. So, so sadly, that also means Brendan Gleeson is a figment of Edward Norton's imagination in the ENCU, which of course is the Edward Norton Cinematic Universe. And as you can see here from the fact that it's already won 3 Golden Globes, it's looking like a great year for Fight Club at the Oscars once again. next slide.
On that point, sorry, you're saying men chop off their fingers.
No, it's protected time. Jim,
I'm defending our
is it protected set. Time?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. No, I did say at the start of this that there are some movies that have won over Fight Club a handful of times in our history. And that's really only to remind us how good Fight Club is. So there was one year that Twilight won, but in a lot of ways, Twilight is kind of like an allegory for the literific. We're the Cullen vampire people, and the werewolf people that hate us are the SU, Paul Song, Paul Song, the whole of Trinity.
What are the McGinnises?
Those like
the
chief vampire people. And then next Friends won because it was like a slow year for cinema and they wanted to, you know, remind us what it's like when culture decays or whatever. And also you may have thought that Silence of the Lambs won, but that's a common misconception. It was actually the lesser known. Not Silence of the Lambs. Yes, it is Silence of the Lambs. It's the lesser known prequel, Red Dragon, where Ray Fiennes eats a William Blake painting in its entirety instead. Next slide, please. Okay. The Academy are over 8,000 people who vote what wins each year at the Oscars. These include directors, actors, writers, etc., who know much more about art than a regular person like you and me. We as a society can't understand the intricacies of a movie like The Shape of Water, so maybe we just don't know what's good for us and would vote for a stinky Marvel movie to win. That is why the Academy picked for us. Here are some examples of non-controversial members of our Academy in the recent past. Harvey Weinstein, well, maybe he's not the best example. Roman Polanski, not the best either. And Will Smith, who definitely has no Oscar-related controversies ever before. I guess next slide. I would just like to... The trigger a little obsessive rigging because of a funny little incident last year. So, maybe we should move on and agree with the opposition tonight. Maybe the kind people of Hollywood know what's best for us. I don't want to just create a mass appealing spectacle that takes our money and runs with it. Maybe your favorite movies are just bad, and that's why they don't win. And there is a 2-year sale in this presentation.
Thank you, it's
Matt.
Final
speaker for the Commons, Ivan. First things out of the way, that was a completely different person you saw in the last photo of the. This is my first year literific, and this is my maiden speech, actually, guys. So. First off, I would just like you to not listen to this side, because let me just talk a little bit about this side first. Okay, first off, James, you should talk the French there, right? But every single debate, how obsessed with he is the French Revolution. This man is forcing to listen to French stuff and French history. When I try to enjoy debate society, I thought I escaped when I failed GCSE French, but no! The ghost of my GCSE French teacher came back in the form of James Orchard.
Doesn't speak out French.
Exactly! Right! Then we have Talshim Expiren. Then we have Talshim Expiren. This person's fun idea of a fun night is to sit up until 5 a.m. and watch Fight Club against your will. Talsh's idea for a New Year's Eve party was to sit and watch Fight Club repeatedly.
We didn't do that.
Yeah, because we all forced you to have Kiva's birthday party instead. I'm not taking points of information, I'm too like brain dead for that. Right? And also, my amazing partner, who decided to fuck off because he was like, yeah, I can't be bothered for this, and you know what, fair talks to him. No, I said I'm not taking points of information, so shut the fuck up. He made a bad oopsie decision after A-levels and was really good at media studies and decided to go into like film and TV because he was an idiot at that point in his life. And I went into broadcast production at Queen's during the pandemic year, so it was shit. And was forced to like, and we were like, you know, COVID isolated together. Do you know how many like shitty movies we have to watch and that I had to watch with him because we were isolated in a fucking room in COVID and I couldn't leave? Okay, I didn't want this debate because I thought I was getting away from Oscars talk. I thought I was getting away from like, this movie's great, this movie didn't deserve an Oscar. Do you know what happens when you date someone who studies movies and studies films for so many years? You cannot go to the cinema or watch a new You cannot go to the cinema or watch a new movie with like, that's a dolly shot. You know what? They could have used this in better. I wonder who the director for this is. Oh my god, no wonder the writing's fine. Do you know what? Like, I just want to watch this. Yes, I have ADHD and I'm looking at my phone and TikTok at the same time as watching the movie, but I am trying to enjoy the movie. So then we also have Dermot, who I think we all at this point realise how, you know, not great his opinions on things are. Already. I mean, the man's obsessed with rats. The only thing you can pick out that's good is so the man's obsessed with rats? Why did you buy that?
Because it's
cherry. Oh, right, okay. The only thing he's good at picking is suits, apparently. So, I will say it isn't my suit. I can't. Right, so let's get on to my actual speech. Right. Do we all remember the controversy about Leonardo DiCaprio? And I'm talking about the Oscar memes. So yes, he is a creep and each of his girlfriends is too old for him by the time that it takes for Kira to ask a POI. But, you know, there wasn't meme culture that he couldn't get an Oscar, do you know what I mean? Like, I don't give a shit, do you know what I mean? And the reason we know the Oscars are rigged is because they gave him an Oscar for one of the most boring, and I tried to watch it, the most boring, crappy Sigma male movie ever of him in the wilderness with a bear. Like, half of it, there's no dialogue, it's just him walking through snow and like half dying and then a bear comes along. Like, the soundtrack's crap, do you know what I mean? Like, that is what got him the Oscar, not you know, the Titanic. You know, he would have got an Oscar before if he had to push Rose off the fucking door and stick it himself, but there was enough room, and I will never shut up about that. No, I told you I'm not taking points of order, so shush. So, if the Oscars wasn't rigged, then Fight Club, or whatever movies that Talcha listed, wouldn't have won Oscars
point of information.
And also, better movies would have won Oscars. For some reason, I cannot name a good movie right now. But anyway, no, I told you I'm not taking them. Shut up. Would have won Oscars. However, the movies that do win Oscars are these shitty movies made by billionaire children after they go on a gap year and discover themselves in Asia on acid and then come back and decide to spend daddy's money on a film that's like, you know, it's like this kind of like posh ass. It's like, it's too, you know, aristocratic and intelligent for you to understand, you know. And like, then they're like, oh yes, this is amazing, so that all his daddy's pedophile friends can pat him on the back and be like, well done, you won an Oscar, you won your first Oscar, oh my god, is that your 6-year-old girlfriend, how lovely to meet you. Like, that is what the Oscars is. Do you know what I mean? Like, genuinely, it is a bunch of Hollywood elites, which we've seen a lot of pedophilia coming out of, and a lot of just not great standards. I mean, you know, Disney in the end credits of Mulan flanking the concentration camp workers, i.e. the security staff in China for their help for the production of the movie, you know. Disgusting. Then it is, you know, stuff like the Weinstein case, or, you know, Quentin Tarantino's foot fetish that comes up in every movie, or how directors just can't stop, you know, touching themselves on set, or touching people they shouldn't be touching on set. And, you know, the only thing good about the Oscars, and the reason I know it's Oscar season, is because a bunch of rich white people decide to dress up nice for the first time in their life because they hire gay people to dress them. And, you know, they walk on a wee carpet and get photos. And that's the only thing about the Oscars I ever pay attention to, because I know one thing I love more than shit-talking about rich people. Shit-talking rich people's fashion choices that they spend so much money on. Like, it's like you had all that money and you went with that. Like, really? Like, I could have got that in Primark. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's... yeah. So, a couple other things. One, this time let's talk about Morbius. Morbius was crap, I didn't even watch it. And that is saying something, because I am a Doctor Who fan, okay? I am a slut for the Doctor, okay? Me and my partner agree on this, do you know what I mean? If that blue box coming, we're sprinting into that box whether the other one is with us or not. And that is like, you know when couples have passes, ours is the Doctor if the Doctor is real. Not the actors. Like if the actual, like if Doctor Who is actually real, that is our pass, right? That's the type of relationship me and Josh have. So I love Matt Smith, right? Not as a person, not as anything but other than in The Doctor. And I like watching him in other things because my brain just sees him now forever as The Doctor. So I'm like, oh my god, The Doctor's in a film! You know, like that, like as if it's like a multi-universe thing and it's like actually Doctor Who just like fucking about ending up on a set, because that's something he would do. I didn't watch Mobius because it was so crap and it had Matt Smith in it. Do you know what I mean? Now, before I finish my speech, because it is finishing up here, the other side have wonderfully brought Oscars awards that they won last year. Now, if I remember correctly, one of those awards is named after a certain celebrity.
It's not here.
Where did it go? Where did it go? Because there was two of them.
You don't want to know where it's gone.
The other one, coincidentally, that James Orchin owns, is called the Chris Rock Award.
Ooh. Oh. Do you want me to bludgeon you with it?
So, I think in true Oscars fashion, since I'm up here having a rant, you know what, maybe James, you want to stand back up again and I'll sit down? And then we can, you know...
I was worried this was going in another direction.
And I can finish this off with a nice little slap.
Oh, Jesus!
No, I'm not just kidding. You're scared to sue me or curse me in French and I have PTSD of French. But anyway, the Oscars is shite. The Oscars is rigged. Who's actually watched any of the movies? And I have one last thing. Right? Belfast the movie won Oscars last year, apparently. I don't know, people like hyperculture the debate, right? Has anyone here, show of hands, watched Belfast the movie? Okay.
Shit. I don't like
it. Right? It won four Oscars! A movie made by rich American. Our culture won four Oscars with some of our shittiest actors. Now, I looked it up on Google like literally 10 minutes ago. Amidst an ethno-nationalist conflict, Buddy and his family find themselves in a catch-22 as their lives become increasingly unsafe in Belfast. Now that was the interesting part of that, but that's whatever. People also asked, according to Google, what is the history behind the movie Belfast? Is Belfast based on a true story? Is the movie Belfast sad? And last but not least, is Belfast film Protestant or Catholic? And I'm being deadly serious! That is what it says on the bottom of that last one.
I have a question. What was the answer?
The answer is... apparently it's Protestant. So there you go. Belfast is more Protestant propaganda that won Oscars, despite the fact Americans are on the side of, you know, Irish. You know the whole like American Irish weird thing.
Yeah, it's
nominated. Same thing. Who cares? That's my speech over. I did this because I couldn't. Like no one signed up.
I generally do need a minute. Give me a minute and I'll be back in a second. I just cannot.
Oh, for the Lord's sake.
Yes.
Thank you very much. It is my final speaker for tonight's debate. German Hamo, and I'll give
you know what one of the greatest fucking speeches scripts ever written in the history of Hollywood is? Top Gun. Top Gun is fucking great. It's a story about a man struggling with his own homosexuality. That is what Top Gun is about. You've got Maverick, he's on the edge. He's right on the fucking line, alright? You've got Iceman and all his crew, they're gay. They represent the gay man. And they're saying, go the gay way, go the gay way. He can go both ways. And that's what the Oscars is all about.
I'm going over to the
scripts. And I want to tell you about a script I wrote. Because as I was walking along the Lisburn Road one day, and I was looking at all of our wonderful, wonderful side streets, and I saw a cat.
Not a rat.
And I watched as it prowled down Donnybrook Street to attack our lovely furry friends. Yes, Jack. Jesus. That's what it's all about. But no. And then I remembered there was another film about rats that won an Oscar. Ratatouille. And what Ratatouille tells us is the story of the French. And while I do not endorse the French, let it be known that I am not French or pro-French. I would actually probably position myself as anti-French. Particularly, yes.
Will you now officially condemn the French?
I will. I will condemn the French. However, Ratatouille also tells us about how the French won an Oscar and how that even you, a rat, particularly a French rat, my friends, could win an Oscar. Even when you look like Tom and you look French, you can win an Oscar. Even when you're Kenneth Branagh, some dick from Belfast, you can win an Oscar. Even when you're a member of the dueling institution, you can win an Oscar. And as we all know, whenever it's Morbin time, you can win an Oscar. And that's what the Oscars is all about. It's about everybody having the same fair chance at making a top tier film. And Ratatouille proved that. And that's why I'm hoping this year, my feature film about rats on the Donnybrook Road will hopefully secure an Oscar. The proposition would have you believe that it is acceptable practice to go on your phone in the cinema. My friends, I say no.
Just say no.
And you know who else says no? Ulster.
Yes.
Ulster says no to going on your phone. As Edward Carson once said, Ireland, north, south, east and west, has suffered nothing as much as the broken pledges of British statesmen. And while the proposition may not be British statesmen, what they offer you are the broken pledges of election rigging. They offer you gerrymandering, they offer you lies, and I say no! We shall not bow, we shall not bend to their lack of hope, to their lies, and to their attacks upon the Academy, to our attacks on our fine institution. They bring up Chris Rock and his getting slapped. My friends, in the literific, we call that a point of information. I reject their anger, I reject their lies, I reject their deceit. They would have you believe we rig a film. They would have you believe we reject that we rig the competition that provides Oscar, that provide awards to films like Silence of the Lambs, films that show the real, true inner spirit of man. Eating people. The Oscars show us the best part of ourselves. They show us what we can truly be. They show us the best sides of humanity, and they show us our worst excesses. And they would have you believe that we do nothing but bow down to their ridiculous liberal agenda. They would have us ignore facts. They would have us bow down. Facts don't care about your feelings. And I say no.
He's an Edward Carson
person. We must stand against the proposition. We must reject their notion that everything in life is rigged against us. We must ensure that we are not like Daniel McCormick, that we are not exploring rigging, that we know. But in the spirit of Mr. McCormick, what we must know is that if you're gonna rig something, make sure you bloody record it. So my friends, I say no to the proposition. I beg you to oppose. Let us say no to their lies, to their deceit, to their attacks upon our industry, on a multi-billion dollar institution. Let us reject them. Let us reject Rory. Let us reject Ellie. I rebuke you, Jack. I rebuke you. I beseech of you, my friends, oppose this motion.
I honestly don't really know what to say, to be honest. I don't really know what to say to that. Thanks for your speech, Dermot. It was delivered well. Some things were allegedly only.
You think you're having a bad time?
I genuinely think this is the best debate that I've ever chaired. There's nothing better than this is what a Olympics should be. And any new members that are here, I am so sorry. I am genuinely, genuinely sorry for what you've had to. We will explain all in the pub after the debate. But now is the time to turn our attention to questions from the floor. So this is your opportunity to ask, Jesus Christ, to ask a question to these speakers in front of us. So do we have a proposition question? Anyone got a question for the?
You can't ask me.
Ask yourself a question.
Try.
Yes. Yeah. Stay for the minutes, please.
Daniel McCormick, considering none of you really sort of covered it in any industry, why is the Oscars free?
Proposition to respond. Proposition to respond. I'm sorry, I've been a long night. Proposition.
Well, what I said was, they don't like albums too much. They don't like Scooby-Doo. And they also do not like Morgan. That
is
what. Opposition to respond.
It's Morbin time.
I generally don't know. Honestly, if anything was going to push me to a resignation, it's this. There's nothing even comes close. Opposition question. Yes, state your name for minutes, please.
Kira Jail. I think I was going to do this abstaining, but I might as well pair with Mr. McCork here and say, please just outline very briefly why the Oscars are not right.
I don't think Kira is alive.
No, only one of you. Only one of you.
Because she's never seen a movie in her
life. Only one of you. Yes, Tasha.
Well, if I were to answer seriously,
which you're not going to.
Do you not want me to?
Well, you can, but that would be the first serious thing that's been said this evening.
Well, it's not rigged because Fight Club won for 100 years. But then even, actually, I was lying. Fight Club didn't win any Oscars, sadly. But
hope that answers your question, Kira. proposition. Any abstaining question that is any way relevant to this topic.
I've got one.
Yes, state your name for the minutes, please. I don't know what's happening.
My question is, obviously it isn't an abstaining question, it's about both sides, and I just want to ask, is this society going through like a collective mental breakdown?
Yes!
I don't understand what's going on tonight. I'm
Proposition, you got anything to say?
To answer your question,
yes. Opposition to respond.
None of us exist here. You know why? Because the president is still asleep in libraries. Not in December. Looking like this.
This is actually happening.
It's just
this is all
the fish he had for lunch is just disagreeing with his bowels. And you know, you're actually an undigested bit of your feet are
I think it is time to turn our attention to the vote. Please, Lord, please let this end. So if you think this is a vote on speaker ability, so God help all of you. Which side of the house do you think has spoken best tonight? If you think this side of the house has spoken best tonight, you can raise your hand now. Oh God. Oh Jesus. If you, right, I'm generally this side of the house. Anyone? Nobody. If you think this side of the house is for the best tonight to be.
Everybody, 40.
If you wish to abstain, if you're an Alliance voter on this motion, has everyone voted?
Yeah. That was 100%.
Wow. Well, welcome to history, folks. That's all I can say. So the vote is 40 for the opposition, 0 for the proposition, and 0 abstention votes. Thank you all very much for coming, and I will see you next week. Before you get up, make sure you take your litter with you, and we're going to Lavery's private room in Lavery's in the pub. We all need a drink after that, so thank you very much.